Our next reader is, oh, this is great, Nick Twomla. Our next reader. Nick Twomla, I got the chance to meet him earlier, and he's I don't know if he can say it, he's a glistening conversationalist. That sounds like something out of David Cronenberg, doesn't it? Glistening, he's a sparkling conversationalist. His stuff has appeared all over the place. Boston Review, A Public Space, New American Writing, The City Visible, which is an anthology you should check out, featuring many great Chicago writers. They say there's a renaissance happening there, and I believe them. Nick is also, what?
So they say it.
A recent Fulbright fellow to New Zealand. He is an editor at Canarium Books, an offshoot of Canary, and it's my pleasure to welcome him up here. This is Nick Twomla.
Imagism. In the depths of the aerosol can, I see the numbers flash from the console, and the pilot throws down some F-bombs, thus numbing all my prep. The chakras, guided imagery, the soul cleansing, cleared a meadow just like that. The Industrial Revolution stormed in, took names, made a list, went public, established a century of credibility, naming names. I saw my neighbor through the curtain doing something highly unlikely, so I picked up the phone. I want to say thank you to Sarah and everyone else that put this together, and for including Canary and Canarium, which I'll briefly explain after I figure out how to... Perfect, that's about right. There we go. Whoops. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. There we go. So some of you know about the Canary, and we've had six issues, I think. It's the brainchild and baby and all of those things of Josh Edwards, who's right over here. Give it up to Josh, please. And the Canaries, you know, somehow managed to get through six issues, and through Josh's endless plumbings of depths of funding and weird places to find ways to help, he was able to put together a sort of new venture, and it's Canarium Press, and we're hoping to come out with single author titles in 2009, but until then, we have a new Canary, but it's the Canary, sort of. It's sort of an issue. There's many people in it, including Arda Collins, who is reading. And so this is the sort of first attempt. It's a big break from the Canary, if you're familiar with it, in terms of design and other things. And they'll be over there, I guess. Is that where... Okay, so we'll have some over there. Anyway, thanks to Lynn and Robin and Josh for making this issue happen. Okay, I'm going to read just a few poems. And the next two are from a series. There's a phone here. Can I make a call while I'm talking? Do you want that? These are called palm trees. Palm trees. LAX, for example, then Sepulveda Boulevard. Papering palm tree cutouts over the holes in the sky. Riding shotgun in my friend's shitty convertible Celica, having driven by the Death Star. Local parlance for the new CAA building. A building designed to convey contempt. And as we discuss how to get our script into its corridors, as the palm trees wink past, we're not even moving, and they appear as one long blur, prompting me to signal to my friend to pull over, which is not possible since we are stuck in traffic. Emotion sickness, linked to nostos, which as an idea doesn't travel all that well, buried as it is in the various nostalgias tricked out on billboards every 50 feet. Take a risk, one says. A lesson in aesthetics. The sky is painterly in its way. Bad art. But the palms, how they terrify me. Beginning to think the world radiates from this car, and that man asleep on the bench, warming the sidewalk with a pool of urine, beard crushed into the neck of his army jacket, his cracked toe sticking out of the cardboard he has carefully crafted into boots. This man so looks the part, I am certain he is only openly auditioning. One never knows when somebody who matters might get stuck in traffic right here, as we are, somebody who needs a few authentic extras for background dressing on some movie set. It's too easy to say the homeless aren't a problem in this town, but they aren't. They have yet to be discovered. I'm ready for my close-up. Palm trees. My last defense is the present tense. The polis polishes the silver dewdrops fomenting on the grassy knoll as the several versions of the lone gunman sink their watches. Behold, the cartographer said, the whirl, my clamp, my valve, my love of the folded number. A cab has honked twice outside my home, ready to spirit me to O'Hare, where I will spin the wheel of fortune. I trust the wheel will groan. And finally, a poem, not a palm tree. It's about a watch. It was auctioned off about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess, 1999 actually, for $11 million, which at the time made it the most expensive watch ever sold. For a period of time, it was housed in the Museum of Time, which I did not know was in Chicago. And it was a watch made in 1933. I guess the rest of the poem will do the work for you, I hope. It's called 24 Complications. The life of the party slits its wrists. Its wrists slit their wrists. The wrist of the world wears a Patek Philippe Henry Graves super complication, which is not a wristwatch, but a pocket watch. Among its 24 complications are one for the hour in which you hang yourself by your wedding tie, and another counting the number of people whose livers can no longer self-repair and have begun to eat themselves. The man who commissioned the piece may or may not have lived forever. He may or may not have been part owner of an explosives company that may or may not now go by the name of Blackwater. You may or may not believe this, but when I was a boy, all I wanted was to push a big red button. Imagine a million crosshairs congregating on the last illegal alien on Earth who resembles the shape you clock time in front of the bathroom mirror reimagining, or a clock tower you climb as Charles Whitman did in Austin, Texas. It was not a clock tower, lugging a duffel of guns and a hatred of the kind of muffled conversation he always walked into the rooms of the house he grew up in to hear. Meanwhile, Blackwater backpedals. Blackwater occupies the clock tower, killing time in the peculiar way time and money prepare you for. The thesis statement is that privatizing the military privatizes the boredom of observing an alien people who busy themselves with the rituals of the free market. Learn from the example of the markets in Jerusalem. The seventh complication is a koan wrapped in an enigma. What are you doing? We're innovating. How? We haven't ideated that yet. Eight resembles the head of an amberfish, the body ripped away by a motherless shark. Nine accrues interest in the leper colonies of the imagination, which may or may not exist lyrically. 10 through 17 take a few bongers while watching The Wire on DVD. 18 is your father's will, which faded as the years passed and burned a hole in his afterlife as the lawyers recited its damages to your family 10 days after he poked a hole in the sky with his third eye, which technically was the 18th complication. 19 was the dream in which you marveled at a child's Art Deco sandcastle while the lion paced a few feet away. 20 was last century. 21 occupied the analytic couch your father fashioned out of chocolate glazed donuts. The next two slobbed the knob of the infinite 40-ounce, dreaming in daiquiri, screaming to the open field in a Whitmanic mania. 24th complication of the Patek Philippe Henry Graves supercomplication is the server space of your next 10 years where dust compiles and Blackwater offloads the epic we all had hoped one of us would write. Thanks.